It's U.S. v. Philippe, 062087. Ms. Smith?
Good morning. May it please the court
and counsel.
Again, Andrea Smith on behalf of the appellant here, Kevin Philippe.
Don't touch it.
Oh, I shouldn't?
Noises. No.
I'm sorry, Judge.
You can lean into it, but don't touch it.
I apologize.
Or you can, will it?
You can raise or lower.
You can go higher.
No, you're touching it.
No, the whole podium. The whole podium can go higher. Hold on. We will give you a little help.
I'm sorry. This is bad. Spilling your water on the table, isn't it?
Is that better?
Thank you. It was too low for my...
Yeah.
Thank
you. No problem.
I apologize. No. Again, Andrea Smith on behalf of appellant Kevin Philippe. Kevin appeals his 210-month sentence for transporting and shipping child pornography over the internet because that 17-and-a-half-year sentence is unreasonable in that the district court judge, a sentencing judge here, did not consider the relevant statutory factors, of course, as required by 18 U.S.C. 3553. And in addition, also, the sentencing judge, a district court here, placed undue reliance on a throwaway argument that the government raised at sentencing that really did not have any proof or testimony going to that should have been an issue that the sentencing court should have considered itself with in terms of arriving at the sentence. That was the fact that Mr. Philippe, Kevin, had worked at a carnival for a few weeks.
Didn't he say he did?
Yes, sir, he did.
They say there was nothing to support it. There's a testimony of your client that he worked at the carnival.
Yeah, there's clearly, Your Honor, there was a fact that he did work for a few weeks at a carnival.
Yeah.
And Kevin said that he had gotten that job through a family friend who owned the carnival. Yeah. But there was no history, there was no proof by the government or any kind of document evidence showing that men who work at carnivals, even if it's only for a few weeks, have a predilection to pedophilia or more interested in children.
Well, put it in reverse. If you're a pedophile, a good place to go is a carnival because that's where kids are.
Well, you know, Judge, when I was thinking this at the hotel last night, I was thinking, you know, I remember that Burt Lancaster worked at a carnival when he was younger.
And I've been suspicious about him for years, too, so go ahead.
My daughter worked at a summer camp any number of years. I think probably even a job at a McDonald's would be.
We're talking about somebody that is practically an acknowledged pedophile.
And that's true, Judge.
Yeah, so there's a difference between your daughter and somebody who's been acknowledged as a pedophile getting a job working with kids. He said that this is a place where he goes because he's attracted to the children.
He didn't admit that, Judge.
I know he did, but I mean, that's me. It's
well, as I said, there's jobs at McDonald's where there's lots of children, too.
Yep,
there's many.
Yep, and 2-to-1, he'd be excluded from that, too. But go ahead.
Well, there's the issue, of course, here is that there's a lot of the low-end paying, low-level jobs, Your Honor, for people who do not have skills or education, oftentimes involve those kind of jobs. McDonald's, lots of jobs are going to be around kids. There's not going to be the appropriate supervision or something in that context. So there's no proof that this working at a carnival for a few weeks was something.
What did you want this court to do?
We're requesting, Your Honor, like this court did in Cunningham, because, in fact, the facts here in Kevin's case is actually more egregious than the decision, the 2005 decision in Cunningham, to vacate Kevin's 17-and-a-half-year sentence and remand it back to the district court for reconsideration of the statutory factors this court should have considered. And if I may, Your Honor, I'll juxtapose why Cunningham has even less egregious facts than this does, Judge Bauer. At the sentencing hearing below, In Kevin Philippe's case, a forensic psychologist testified and testified at length at the sentencing hearing. She was qualified as an expert by the district court, and that was unobjected to by the government. She diagnosed Kevin, who was 22 years old at the time he went on the internet and looked at these pictures, who had no history whatsoever of acting out, of any kind of touching any children at all, had no prior criminal history at all. She diagnosed him as having an avoidance personality disorder, a very shy, retiring young man who had no social skills.
And?
And she diagnosed him as being very treatable.
treating for what?
Treatable for pedophilia, Your Honor.
He diagnosed him as a pedophilia.
He admitted to her, Your Honor, that he was attracted to young girls.
Yeah, okay. There's no,
and, of course, that's what with the child pornography pictures.
What are the recidivism rates of pedophilia?
They're not good, Your Honor, but what the interesting thing about in this case is that the forensic psychiatrist said this is exactly the kind of case that needs treatment sooner rather than later, before the pedophilia gets embedded in the offender's brain. A 17-and-a-half-year sentence.
When is he eligible for parole, young lady?
Your Honor, the 210-year sentence, Judge Coffey, would have been a 17-and-a-half-year sentence with, if he got good behavior off, it'd probably be 16 years or something, a year and a half off for good behavior. So 210 months. And Judge Coffey, of course, one of the things I started to say was a forensic...
Doesn't the sentencing judge have an obligation to protect society as well?
Absolutely, Judge, but there, of course, was no indication other than the manufacturers of this child pornography that anybody had been victimized or hurt or harmed.
How many of these did he send out?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. I don't know about that. I know there was some trading of pictures on the Internet, and I don't know for sure the numbers. I did not handle the case below. I'm up here arguing a number of cases this week, Judge. I'm handling this for someone else. I know there was a lot of pictures, and there was Judge Coffey.
Over 600 images, and they could downloaded manually. Isn't that right?
Yes, but also the FBI agent testified that some of these are the automatic download, and you hit a button and the whole group of pictures comes down. So an offender, and I've had handled child pornography cases before, and you hit a button and the whole package comes downloaded, and you don't choose between the ones that have 3-year-olds versus 8-year-olds versus ones who have who are bound, who have some sadistic or
program for him. Didn't he decide was the intensive program of treatment at the Bureau of Prisons in North Carolina?
I apologize, Judge Coffey. Could you repeat that question?
Did the psychiatrist who testified that the best therapy for this young man was offered at the Bureau of Prisons in North Carolina?
And absolutely, that's true, Judge Coffey. The problem is that the BOP does not...
It would not be available to Philippi.
Until the last 3 years of his incarceration.
Right. But during the time that he's not getting the treatment, you're protecting society from him.
Except, don't we have a situation in North Carolina where, assuming he gets in that facility, the facility specializes in helping people with his problems. In other words, I know he couldn't get into the specialized program.
Yes,
ma'am. But where he was recommended, as I understood the judge's order, the judge did rely on the psychiatrist's testimony and the need for him to get medical treatment and referred him to the treatment program suggested by the psychiatrist. And even though the intensive program is at the tail end, he would get some treatment before he gets to the tail end.
And that's it.
As I understand it.
Yes, sir. To answer both of your questions, that's true, but there's no guarantee, of course, that BOP has room in North Carolina. He could be sent off to Wisconsin, to Greenville.
That's true.
And we just don't know where
he
would go.
Off to Wisconsin that he can't get the treatment here?
Or Greenville. We just don't know where BOP would send him, Your Honor.
Nope, we don't. But you're into your rebuttal time.
I see that, and I didn't even get to answer. I'll save my rebuttal time, if I may. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Leggins?
Good morning, Your Honors. One of the things that strikes me about the defendant's argument in this case is it's being couched as a failure to consider at all the 3553 factors, when instead it strikes me as just a pure reasonableness argument, because from my reading of the record, the district court did consider all the factors the defendant raised in this case, and there was just a failure, if you will, to accord the same weight to those factors that the defendant would have liked to have seen the court do in this case. In this case, to answer Judge Coffey's question, while the sentence was based on 600 images or more, that is because that's as high as the guidelines go. There are actually, according to the PSI, 15,000 images that this individual had. In fact, the probation office was recommending an upward departure on that basis in this case, which the court did not impose. But if you take a look at the things that the court did rely on, if you look at whether or not the court did evaluate this correctly after having calculated the appropriate guideline range. The district court did allow the defendant to develop a 3553 argument, and the court considered the factors that the defendant raised. The court considered the letters in the record. The court considered Dr. Stanislaw's testimony, and as this court pointed out this morning, not only did the court consider and credit that testimony, but the judge made the finding that this defendant should be incarcerated at the sexual offender prison, as this court has pointed out this morning, and that prison not only has the intensive program for the treatment of the defendant, but it has the ongoing less intensive treatment. So for all of those reasons, it is the government's position that the sentence in this case was reasonable, and we ask this court to affirm it. Thank you.
How much time?
1.5 minutes. The defense attorney is always going to take his last 2 minutes of rebuttal, if I may. The district court mentioned the 35 letters from the families twice in passing, did not give any indication in the record that he actually considered those letters. He did not really take into consideration the 3553 factors in terms of looking at Kevin's the history, Kevin's age, his youth, his prior lack of criminal history. The district court did not look at the fact that there was, in fact, had been no evidence and no indication whatsoever, even when Kevin confessed to the FBI agent that he'd ever touched a child. And as this court may realize in the child pornography cases, so many people know that their pedophilia is something that's wrong and they shouldn't be doing. And so many of them go ahead and confess entirely when the agents come knocking on their door and ask them if they can look at their computer. I've had that happen over and over again because I know that it's really a sickness with them. So they do confess. And Kevin denied that he'd ever touched anybody, and there was no indication that he had. So there was, when a number of you judges have expressed this morning, protecting the public, actually the best thing to protect the public would be get this young man into intensive treatment immediately and soon and get him out of prison, because if he goes and spends 17 and a half years in prison where he's locked up with felons and he comes out a 40-year-old man embittered and those fantasies have now embedded into his psyche because that's all he's had to think about for 17 and a half years, even with the intensive treatment, something that this young man, Kevin, was salvageable. He was definitely treatable because of his youth, because he had had some heterosexual adult experience, because he was not interested in boys, so he's heterosexually inclined. He had no criminal history, and he was definitely salvageable. And what happened, the district court here, and what was we urge in the briefs, and I urge here, is what we have is, again, a de facto mandatory application of the guidelines. The presumption of reasonableness applies. We know that the Supreme Court is...
Finish your sentence. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Just that the Supreme Court has accepted cert on the presumption of reasonableness of guideline sentences. The district court here imposed a de facto mandatory sentence without considering... I didn't even mention the psychiatric treatment, and I think that was the psychiatric issues and the psychiatric testimony, and the court failed to even address that at sentencing. So we know it didn't give the 3553 factors.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, and we thank you, Ms. Smith, for taking this appointment. We appreciate your vigorous advocacy, as always. We also thank you, Mr. Leggins. The case will be taken.